So, we already had the reading of the scripture because we had a video for it. And for those listening to the recording, you'll have to look it up yourself. It's Gospel of John, chapter 17. Now, the background to this is pretty simple. It follows all the teaching that Jesus has been doing with his disciples. Next week, we're going to get into chapter 18, which is going to be Jesus getting grabbed by the religious leaders and being tried and all that kind of stuff. So the teaching is done. But now, Jesus is doing what's called the Lord's High Priestly Prayer. That's what they call it. And it has three parts. One is a prayer for himself, because he's going to have a hard time what he's going to go through. One is a prayer for the apostles, which are the people that he is sending out to build his church and to teach people about him and to create teachers, to teach other people, to teach other people, to teach, so that it would go out. And lastly, he's a prayer for believers of all times, for those who will come after us. So, first of all, he says his hour has come. Now, this is very significant because we've noticed throughout this that people would tell him, okay, do something really great. And he'd go, my hour has not yet come. This is not the time. Well, he starts this off by saying, my hour has now come. And then he says, Lord, glorify your sons so he will glorify you. This is very important. That's what the purpose of Jesus was to tell people and to glorify God. There was a movie called Oh God, had George Burns in it. And all through the movie, he kept saying the same thing. I just want everybody to know that I love them and it's all right. That's pretty much what Jesus kept saying. Hey, worship God. Do the best you can do. All of these rules are totally superfluous. And the common people loved him because they're going, I can do that. I can love God. I can follow God. And then he says, he can give eternal life to anybody he wants to. And eternal life is actually knowing God. He says, you've given me the power to bestow eternal life, which is knowing you. And then he says, let people know that I am the only way to get to God. And then he began to pray for the apostles. He said they were given to Jesus by the Father. Now we think Jesus picked them. And he told them. He says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. But in fact, they were chosen by the Holy Spirit in the wisdom of the Lord to get just the ones that were right. Because we didn't want all of these really super well-known, you know, 12 doctor this, that, and the other thing, and whatever, you know. He wanted people who were people, who when they walked up to the people and they'd say, well, who are you? Well, I'm Peter the fisherman. Okay? I'm Matthew, the tax collector. I know you're not going to like that very well. You know, and that's what he wanted, was he wanted common people to go tell the common people. See, his philosophy was that those religious leaders ought to know. God said all through the Old Testament, okay, priests, and teachers. You're required to know this stuff because you're supposed to be teaching it to people. But they weren't. They were keeping it themselves. And they were saying, this is what the Bible says, and here's a whole big list of rules. You can't do them all. So I'm such a good guy, and you're not. And that's why the common people loved him. Because he said, you don't need any rules. Love God, and love your neighbor. It's just all there is to it. So he says he wants them to be taken out of the world by their faith in him. Now, they're in the world, but they're not of the world, he says. He gave them the words of life. At one point, Jesus actually has an interaction where people are walking away from him because he wasn't due to suit them. And he says to the disciples, are you going to leave too? And Peter just has this ability. He's like Chesty Puller. He's just got this wonderful store of sayings. And he says, who will we go to? Because only you have the words of life. And he gave them the words of life. He said this, go and tell people this. This is the words of life. This is how you live. He says he's not praying for the world, but those who God gave him. Now, God gave him specific people to do specific things, and that's who he's praying about now. He's been protecting them, but now he needs the Father to protect them. Many times you see things where he said they were going to go and they were going to grab Jesus, but he just walked through and they were unable to take him. Because Jesus had power. And he was able to protect them. He's not asking that they be removed from the world. He's asking that God will protect them from the evil one. Once again, that's a Jewish term. They called him the evil one, the accuser. One of the things we sometimes have a hard time understanding is the concept of evil. People will say, did God create evil? And the answer is no. But God created everything. Well, in a way, he created a choice. Evil came into the world when the wrong choice was made. And we're not talking Adam and Eve here. We're talking about way back with Lucifer, who said, I can be God. And God said, no, you can't. Turns out he was right. And Jesus says he wants God to sanctify them. He wants God to make them holy. And that has been a hard concept for me. At one point, told you before, there's this one particular guy, is how I got to be a pastor. I was a fire-breathing prophet. I could tell you what's wrong and get your stuff together, but I wasn't that really great at being a pastor. Until one day, this guy's sitting in my living room, and he poured out his heart to me, and I'm thinking what I should tell him, and it turned out it was exactly right. Well, he went to his friend and he said, you need to go talk to Walt because Walt is the man of God. And I'm thinking, how did you get that? You know, I'm this well-known screw-up from day one. How did I get to be the man of God? And in the back of my mind, God was sitting there going, because I made you the man of God. Shut up. And do your job. And so that's what God is saying. Sanctify these guys. When they walk up, let people say, this is the man of God. Listen to him and do what he says. For some reason, people have been coming to this church and they've thought, oh, Walt's someone to listen to. Pat will explain to you why this is not reasonable, but at any rate.
As long as you're talking the words of God, then you're just fine.
Yes. So then he wants to pray for those who will come after. Now this is a small part, and yet it has such a huge impact, because he's saying those who will hear and follow. And those will hear them and follow them. And people will hear them and follow them. And it just expands out.
Until it gets to us.
That was what happened with Christianity. You couldn't stop it. The Romans tried. Everybody has tried. I mean, just there's always somebody somewhere that hates us. Oh, the United States is a Christian country. Well, number one, not anymore. And number two, there were always people who didn't want it to be a Christian country. They just wanted it to be a sanctuary for people to be totally secular and do as they please. The problem was, if you do as you please, you're going to mess it up and you're going to cause problems. That's why God gave us objective rules and said, this is the way you need to act. Everything in the Old Testament that is his rules, there was a reason for it. Kosher, there was a major reason for it. If you just went around eating things, you would die, and you would have no idea why. Now we know why, and so we know how to eat things that we didn't used to be able to eat without dying. We know that you have to cook pork all the way through. Get it up to a particular temperature so that all the trichinosis will be dead. You know, watch out for red tide. Don't just sit here eating gooey ducks if there's a red tide. All this stuff. But God loves us, and he wants us to have the bounty of his world. And he prayed for unity. Oh boy, do we need that nowadays. Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of problems. Now, as I was telling some of you earlier, there is a new book called Another Gospel. That's a problem. Unity is for people who are united in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for people making stuff up out of whole cloth. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I have always said that I can have fellowship with anybody who can accurately tell you how to be saved. Doesn't take anything away, doesn't add anything to. There are people in Bremerton that we ran into. Absolutely tell you how to be saved, absolutely accurate, and then you have to be baptized. Nope, you just blew it. You added. There are people who are saying, oh, well, this is all you have to do, or that's all you have to do, and you know, if you believe just, you know, close enough. Nope, that's not true. You have to have proper faith. If somebody knows how to be saved, and if they've done it, we can have fellowship together. Pat will tell you, there was a guy that I knew back in Groton who actually came out here and went to church with us, and everybody thought we were mortal enemies. Because we had a major difference in belief about the millennium. Will there be a millennium? When will it be? Are we currently in a time before the millennium? And many of you are probably thinking, does this really matter that much?
Not that much.
No, it doesn't. It was just a fun argument for us to have. Okay? Now, he was just completely wrong about this, but we got along great. Mm-hmm. We just had a different idea of when the rapture is going to come and how it's going to come. Jesus knows the Father, and the disciples are supposed to share Jesus. That's how you get to know the Father, is by knowing Jesus. That's what he said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, who is the head of the Godhead, but by me. So what does this all mean to us? First of all, God has glorified Jesus, so we need to do that as well. We need to absolutely glorify Jesus in all that we do. If you ever hear me praying about people who need something bad from God, like maybe Roxana, you will hear me say, Lord, this is the need. Bring glory to yourself and make sure nobody misses this, that it was you that did it. When Roxana gets healed, if she does, I don't know, that's up to God, but that's what I'm praying for. And if Roxana gets healed, I want it to be in a way that everybody on the face of the planet knows who did it. And that we can all go out and tell people who did it. And even if he doesn't, like we had a lady in this church named Sherry Shelley, and she died. But everybody has Sherry Shelley testimonies because she lived her life in such a manner that she glorified God. God has protected Christians through the ages. He's not going to stop now. And what I mean by that is, God rescues us in one of three ways. He may make the problem go away. He may get you through it, or he may take you out of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means taking you home. Okay? But God will protect you. He will get you through anything you have to get through, or he will just take you home. We are his chosen way to share Jesus and the Lord.
Crazy as that sounds.
What?
Crazy as that sounds.
Crazy as that sounds. That's what he chose. And God has a tendency to be right about things. So we just say, okay, Lord, you chose me. I'm going to do my best. We once had a lady who was in a home for people who were, I guess they call it now, mentally deficient or whatever, I don't know how you call it, challenged. But at any rate, they liked the fact that Gideon New Testaments, and I was in Gideon's New Testaments came in all different colors. And my son, Jeremiah, was known for finding Gideon New Testaments and snagging them up. We'd give them out, and he'd snatch them up if people throw them away. Okay? He found them at Christian schools. Okay? So Christian schools are red. Regular schools are orange. The normal personal testament is kind of a green color. Looks like it's, you know, lizard skin or something. Nurses are white. Ladies auxiliary is blue. We had all of these different colors. And so I had this bag of these Gideon New Testaments that I brought. And I said, okay. And so all these people from this halfway house, for people who had gotten, they've got jobs, but they needed to be watched over because they had the mental building of about an 8-year-old or so. And she got really bad cancer and very quickly died. And the people from the halfway house came to me and said, do you know what she did? You should have this. And they handed me her little Gideon New Testament, where she had signed in the back. And she said she would walk up to people and she would open the back page and she would say, I'm not very smart, but I know one thing. If you read this and do what it says, you're going to go to heaven. And people got saved in droves just by that. Because God didn't call you to lead people to the Lord. He just called you to tell people about him. And if you say it right there, it tells you how to do it. Then the Holy Spirit now has all he needs to draw those people in. We are His chosen way, and anybody can do it. If we've got four spiritual laws over here. It'll walk you right through leading somebody to know Jesus. We should be unified with one another. We should not fight amongst ourselves or amongst other denominations. Now, when somebody does something that hurts somebody, I may get my back up. I was in the Philippines. I had a little houseboy before Pat got there. And he came in one day. He was well known for being all joyous, and he was just real quiet and everything like that. I said, "Fernando, what's the problem?" "Well, I was with a hostess." Basically, that means a hooker. And I said, "Oh, well, I went to the priest, and he said I had to say so many Our Fathers and so many, you know, Marys and Hail Marys and stuff." Okay. And then when I went back, he said, "Well, did you do it in Latin?" Obviously, this priest just was tormenting Fernando. And he said, "Okay." So I went and I learned how to do it in Latin. And I came back and I said, "I did it all in Latin." "Well, if you pronounced it all right, then you're forgiven." I said, "Fernando, let me explain something to you about unconditional forgiveness." And I led Fernando to the Lord very quickly, because he obviously had a desire, he just didn't know. Now, that priest pissed me off, right? Because he had this guy and he was tormenting him. So we don't want to be unified with somebody like that who's playing a silly, stupid game. We want to be unified with people who want to see the world come to know Jesus. We should love as Jesus loved. Now, this is hard. You're going to see it in the last chapter. You're going to see it because he has a discussion with Peter where I have to do a lot of Greek explaining because it doesn't come out the way it looks like it did. But we need to love the way Jesus loves. Now, Greek has multiple kinds of love. The best we're ever going to get to is what they call philos, which is brotherly love. That's where we get Philadelphia from. Jesus was actually able to have agape love. Now, agape love is a Greek concept of perfect, unconditional love. And they would tell you back then, you're not going to get it. The gods may be able to do it. And then you read their little mythology and you find out, no, sorry, Charlie. Them guys are not doing this. They don't have anywhere near agape love. But they had this concept of perfect love. Well, that's what God has. That's what Jesus had. That's what we strive to be like. And we just try to have the best philos love that we can possibly get ourselves to. And we should pray for each other. Every day we should think of the people in this church and we should pray for them. We have people like Roxana that, of course, I pray for her several times a day because she crosses my mind. She's a special case. I probably pay for Vicky at least once a week because I think Vicky's out there finding people who need help, and she's trying to help them. Okay? Cindy's trying to do the best she can do, you know, and she's becoming better and better as she goes. John is this wonderful guy who just helps everybody every chance he gets. And I pray to God and I thank him for all the people in this church and all the people who've been in this church. We need to pray for each other. I'd really appreciate it if you would pray for my instability, because the last couple of days I've been more unstable than usual. I've been right on the verge. I was in the bathroom and I went to grab my medicine and just kept going and banged my head right into the mirror. I thought I was breaking, but I didn't. But it didn't hurt a lot, or it didn't feel really good to bash my head into the mirror. But at any rate, we should pray for each other. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Make us the people that we should be. Help us to serve you well. Show us what you want and help us to do it. Help us to be united with each other and other people who serve you. Help us to trust you. That's hard sometimes when bad things start to happen. Guide us into trust for you and into trust for each other. And Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.